Okay, for the next hour and a half.
Yeah, we're going till noon today, Ambrose. Good morning. Happy New Year, sir. I hope you're well.
I am. Thank you. Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Dan. So much happens every day. It is unusual.
It is unusual. We originally booked you to talk about the legal impact that people face when they go to places like the Capitol building the other day. They post about it or even say things on a social media site that gets them crossways with their employer. And we've talked about it before. The right of the employer to let a person go for statements they believe are not in keeping with their company's values is grounds for termination, yes or no?
In general, yes, Greg. An employer cannot coerce an employee to vote for or against a certain candidate. And, for example, what I would suggest is that the person in the Capitol who had his photo taken walking away with the Speaker Pelosi's podium, that kind of conduct, you don't have to wait for an arrest as an employer, and you don't want to rely on the arrest as the employer. But just the act of doing that, being in the Capitol and taking property, no employer has to accept that as conduct, and that act can be used as a basis for termination, yes.
Yeah, and you know why? Because it affects the company's bottom line. This cancel culture, which I think has gotten out of hand, though, is very real. And if there's a business circle that you are in and they go, hey, that's one of your people, well, we're not doing business with you. This cancel culture, I think it would terrify me as a business.
It is very hard these days, and no business wants to see its director of sales or marketing personnel lighting fires of any sort physically. And that's what's been occurring this year. So that's the distinction, is one has to draw the line between backing a cause and then acting out in a way that's wildly at odds with any business plan of any organization.
Can I bring it home to Peoria County, Tazewell County, locally? So I'm a person who speaks out in favor of a certain political points of view. It doesn't matter what side that might be, but I speak out on social media, and it's pretty strong language.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be physical.
No. Yeah, I'm not talking about you're carrying the podium away or set a fire. I'm just saying you're talking some pretty rough stuff. Now, what happens with your employer? Can they still take you out without any recourse?
An employer, absent a union agreement and absent any discriminatory issues, doesn't need a reason as long as it's not illegal. And certainly any rough stuff language. And let me give you an example. What's interesting is we have working through the courts cases from 4 years ago during the 2016 election. And the New York Bank of Mellon this past year, within the past 6 months, had a court uphold its termination of an employee who posted on Facebook about a council person they liked in their jurisdiction, about how they should have driven through the protesters in their vehicle. So once you start getting that escalation, that's where you're going to be in the termination zone rather than suspension or some lesser conduct.
Got it. We are very confused as a population, I believe, about freedom of speech. And since we first asked you to be on the show about those issues that we just discussed, all of this canceling of the president's accounts, in particular him, but also the closing down of Parler because the supporting companies won't hold their platform on their sites, all of that has gotten into this big conversation about censorship, freedom of speech, a free enterprise, the business community. In general, how are you looking at that?
That is going to be the issue this year, Greg. And I was looking at what Amazon filed late yesterday in response to Parler's lawsuit out in the federal court in the state of Washington. And it's fascinating because Amazon's take on this is a multi-front and apparently pretty strong, because Amazon says, first of all, wait a minute, Parler, we don't even host Twitter's account. So all the stuff you have in there about Twitter had as many death threats or horrible things in there, it's meaningless to us at Amazon because our servers don't host Twitter. And we haven't had any communications with Twitter about you or about any of this stuff. And in their contract, Amazon was allowed to suspend, which is what they did. But as you like to make it a circle, Amazon also cited Section 230 saying we are also a hosting under the Section 230C2, that we're also an interactive computer service, and we in good faith can terminate your account, which, by the way, had 26,000 unresponded to death threats and other horrible things, which you told us about, in addition to the hundreds we told you about at Amazon, that you took no action on. And but given what happened at the Capitol, we can't wait any longer. So,
it's like, Amazon is saying we could censor because under our agreement, you didn't censor.
Well, we have to be careful in which words we use because, you know, censorship is by a government, by the state, typically is censorship. And I would say when you're talking about private organizations, that's one thing. It's different from censorship. And the other is, are we talking about language? And it's in this motion. And I wouldn't call any of these statements they're complaining about statements of political opinion or expression. It's, I'm going to kill so-and-so. And I'm not even going to say the names, but every name you can think of that's in the news, it's I'm going to kill that person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can I make clear? You hit me with a number there that I didn't quite track. 26,000 of those threats were where?
Parler admitted to Amazon that it was behind on 26,000 such postings.
Got it.
Certainly, they weren't the only social media site that has this issue. We've seen that YouTube had it. Twitter had it, and others. But Amazon made a very strong filing in the sense of saying, that's interesting about Twitter. We have nothing to do with Twitter. It's just you.
But isn't those 26,000 the exact defense for keeping 230 there? Even if you have bots, even if you have resources, you could easily get overwhelmed and hijacked. And so you need that protection.
You mean as a provider?
As a provider. Yeah. I mean, like Parler, they're behind 26,000. They admitted. I mean, any host or platform can be overwhelmed and hijacked. And if you go, that's why 230 protects them, correct?
Correct. And as usual, Dan, you're highlighting the big public policy issue as well as the technology issue. Amazon's issue with Parler was, we came to you with these problems, and you said all you could do was put on volunteers to harvest and get rid of these bad comments. You're going to need something much stronger than that, whether software or artificial intelligence. But this does raise the larger issue of, can any of these social media websites function in a way or that allows billions of users or millions of users, or some people in academia and some of these think tanks are saying, we need more social media websites because none of them can police more than a certain amount of people and make sure that the comments aren't incendiary or calls to criminal behavior.
Yeah,
Are issues that are going to get sorted out in Congress because I agree, Section 230 will be on the legislative docket.
This is years and years of conversation. It reminds me of the TV show Black Mirror. I don't know if, I know, Danny, you haven't seen it. Ambrose, I don't know if you've seen it. But it's kind of a futuristic, modern-day version of the Twilight Zone. And these are the kind of issues that come into that program. It's episodic, so every episode's different. But these are the kind of long-term social media, computer, artificial intelligence, you know, and the easy way to get around a lot of the language that is not permitted is that you misspell words on purpose. You just misspell a word. You spell kill, C-I, hyphen, hyphen. And everybody knows what you mean, but the bot doesn't see it.
Wow.
So that takes a real person to see it, and that's almost impossible.
And then just the judgment, okay, it's not censorship, but you can ban someone or whatever. How to apply that fairly? Yeah. Where's the line? What constitutes what the line is? You know, it's still ambiguous.
Well, the good news is, as long as Dan and I are keeping doing this show, and Ambrose, you're still open to talk to us, we're going to be talking to you for a long time.
that would be great, Greg and Dan, and appreciate it because these issues are incredibly complex and evolving and will require attention of everyone.